B-Pod Studios.
No one says it like they do.
What do you mean?
Well, what do you mean?
Felger and Mads.
I'm just making it up. Totally making it up.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
What kind of factor is the Patriots' history of having previous taping incidents play in that investigation?
Of course, that's a factor. But I think the key things are the new information that we have. That information we obviously already have. But I think the issue is, what information do we have from this incident?
Patriots history coming back to bite them will be a topic this hour as we continue with Agenda Free Friday. Christopher Gasper of the Boston Globe joins us in our Town Fair Tire Studios. Hi, Chris.
Hey, what's going on, guys?
How you doing? Christopher,
he is
powered by the commuter rail. Don't forget to hop on board this weekend and take the train for unlimited trips for just $10. Parades, tree lightings, shows, and shopping. Plan your weekend travel at mbta.com/massbytrain and get a $10 weekend ticket right now on the M-Ticket app. Gasper, you want to weigh in on Patriots, Bengals, and that whole Michigas? What do you think?
Yeah, I mean, I think here's the situation. The Patriots, I think, are telling the truth this time. But nobody believes them because of the priors. And because the fact is with Spygate that I think for most of football America, they didn't get an explanation or a punishment that was to their satisfaction. And I was hoping, you know, I covered that. It was a nightmare. I was hoping I would never have to deal with it again. But it's all been dredged back up. And to me, the issues surrounding that still follow the Patriots around. They follow them around for Deflategate. I said from day one, Deflategate was really about Spygate. It was never about air pressure in footballs. It was about getting the Patriot pound of flesh that these owners didn't get, that they thought they were getting from Spygate. And I think this time around, what the Patriots are saying, I know some of the people involved, like Bob, I know the scout involved. I think this is all legit what they're saying. But nobody believes you because of the way you've behaved in the past, and you have no one to blame for that other than yourself, particularly if you're Belichick, because he's never really fully taken ownership of Spygate and never really fully explained like why they were doing it. You know, I had in my column this week, he told Mike Reese in 2008 that it was a 1 on a scale of 1 to 100. Then why are you doing it? Does anybody really believe Bill Belichick would waste that much time on a sophisticated, coordinated operation if on a scale of 1 to 100 it was a 1?
Yeah, I don't believe that.
Nobody does. And that's part of the problem. And remember, Goodell thought he was going to apologize? That was in a Peter King Sports Illustrated story. Goodell was still mad at Bill because the understanding was they kind of let him off the hook. He didn't get suspended, but he was supposed to apologize. He never apologized.
He still hasn't apologized.
And I think that's why people are all fired up about this and don't believe the Patriots.
So, Chris, like you say that, you know, the organization, to me, you said primarily Bill. I think it's all Bill. I think this 100% goes back to Bill. That's what I think it is. And I think Bill didn't understand the magnitude of what he was doing back then in terms of the ramifications of it.
Okay.
Because he either ignored them or he was clueless, which I doubt that he was clueless. He probably ignored them. So now here we are 12 years later, and all of a sudden people are dredging it up again, and he's going, all right already. And I feel like saying to him, no, not all right already. This is what you did this the first time. You did something to the point where everybody looks at you will never believe anything you say ever again. So whose fault is that?
And this is, you know, I think this is going on internally where Bill is Rip, right? Bill,
oh, yeah, he's hot.
Bill apparently is on the warpath in the building, right?
Yeah, because this has dredged up all this stuff and it sticks to him.
Well, but, I mean, I understand why he's upset, but if I'm on that other side, you know, I know what I would feel, which is, yeah, we screwed up, Bill, but the whole reason the thing's going nuclear is because of what you did in 07. If this was our first offense, everyone would believe us. You know, if this is just an innocent mistake, but no one thinks it's an innocent mistake. That's not because of us. That's because of you.
See, that's how I feel.
And that's, you know, that's what I think that, I don't know, if I was one of those poor guys that worked on the other side of the building over there, that's how I would feel. Like, Bill, why do you think this is such a big deal? It's not a big deal because our producer made a mistake. It's a big deal because of your history.
Right. Before you start going bananas and, you know, storming the hallways, let's remember why we're in this mess in the first place.
Yeah, he never really owned his piece of it. You know, even when the famous Mona Lisa Vito press conference, when he says, you know, we'll never do this again, it's we. It's not I. I was wrong. Because remember, his whole thing was I misinterpreted the rule.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
It wasn't I was wrong. I'll make sure we never do this again. It was we were wrong. We were disciplined. It's like, no, dude, this was on you.
Okay, so can you read anything into how it's... Well, it's been silent this week that Cincinnati is, you know, hasn't let you off the hook publicly and the league hasn't said anything?
I can't, the only thing I'd say is I wonder, and I haven't heard this. I think Zach Taylor has not really said much this week. But I wonder if the Rams people, and he was on that Rams staff in the Super Bowl, were sort of left scratching their heads and saying, man, how did they limit us the way they limited us? Like, what happened there?
Yeah.
Was there, and so maybe that's where this is really coming from.
And you're talking Rams of last year.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah, we're not going back to 01, right?
No, no, no.
There's multiple Rams cheating things.
But I'm wondering if that's like, you know, he was there last year as quarterbacks coach. And I wonder if that sort of part, when that game was over, they were like, what happened here? Like, and they took a look at it and they maybe are in a situation where they are, you know, distrustful of how well the Patriots were able to defend them. And that's sort of what's driving it at this point.
Yeah, or maybe their head coach last year was a dumbass who couldn't predict the Patriots to play zone. Like, you know,
well,
so,
but
you raise
Chris's
a good
point. People are paranoid of the Patriots.
Yeah, you raise a good point, though, and I had not even considered that. That, again, he was with the Rams last year and they got 3 points in the Super Bowl. I mean, it's a good point.
Okay, so there's that. You can continue to weigh in on that at 617-779-0985. Did that Celtics loss last night tell you anything?
Yeah, it told me something I think we already knew, but it just really, I think, for me, solidified it. This team is going to go as far as Tatum and Brown go, right? And Tatum and Brown are not at the point in their careers where the performance is going to be consistent on a night-to-night basis. Like, they're pushing to be all-stars, but you talk to people in that league and they'll tell you what separates the good players from the all-star guys from the great players is consistency. Can you do it on a night-to-night basis? And both of those guys essentially were no-shows last night. I mean, I know Tatum made the threes in the fourth, but he was 3 of 16 up to that point. So I think the weather vane for that team, when you look at it, will be the performance of Tatum and Brown. And they're only going to go as far this year as those guys
grow. So you don't even think it's like a big picture thing? Because I think I wrote this in our notes today.
Yeah.
Gordon Hayward greater than Tatum and Brown. I like Hayward's game better than both those guys right now. I think Gordon Hayward, I love his offensive game. He gets himself easier shots than those two by far. I mean,
yeah, he's very good.
You know,
he's very good on pick and roll.
He slashes, he penetrates a little bit and has a mid-range game. And that's where the money is in the NBA. I'm sorry, because everyone's defending the line or packing the paint. And if you could just stop in the middle there somewhere and take an open shot, and Gordon Hayward's more than willing to do it. I love his offensive game. It's like a throwback. It's refreshing. He didn't just chuck threes or attack the rim.
Some good Sidney Moncrief memories for you?
Well, I don't know. It's just very few guys play the game that way. I just think he gets himself so much more easier shots than those other two. Where Jason Tatum is spinning, stepping back, Kobe Bryant, deep three.
Tatum can get to the rim. Sometimes he gets hypnotized by his handle and what he can do and will settle for stuff. But he can definitely get to the
rim. I don't know. I just like Gordon Hayward's game.
No, he's good.
I just like his offensive
You know,
game.
The other thing I'd say for them too, though, I think in these two games they really missed the grit and the guile of Marcus Smart. And what I want to see is when Smart comes back, I want to see Smart in the starting lineup. I don't think they'll do it. I think there'll be a lot of ego massaging there. But really, and again, this goes back to my overall point, the growth of Tatum and Brown. Can Brown come off the bench and grow and be able to come off the bench and be an effective player? Because for me, the best version of the Celtics has probably Brown, maybe Hayward, but probably Brown coming off the bench and anchoring that second unit as a go-to guy. Because they're really thin. And I don't think any of these young guys, Carson Edwards, Grant Williams, Romeo Langford, I don't think those guys are really going to be able to help you off the bench.
So still figuring out, Stu, the Tatum, Brown, Hayward thing. What are those? Do you update your 61 minutes there after last night there?
I have not.
Dude, check into that, Jerry.
Check on those numbers.
You're slacking.
I think they still have to figure out that.
I do too, and I've been saying that for a while, and I think they're better off with Smart in the starting lineup. You can figure out on a night-to-night basis who the final five are. But I think eventually Smart goes back into that starting lineup. I think that makes it easier for Kemba. I think you have better ball movement, better defense. And then you get what you really need, which is some depth with your second unit and somebody who can be a go-to scorer for the second unit.
Their bench blows. I said this yesterday. Their bench blows. And look, I'm not telling you need nine guys.
Is that a technical term?
Yeah, yes. That's a Maz term. You can look it up in the urbanmazdictionary.com. Okay?
I need some graphs and charts.
Yeah, so I just think that they got nothing there. Now, I'm not one of these people. Like, last year, they had too many. Now they don't have enough. You got to have a couple of guys on your bench. Give me two. They get zero. Zip.
Okay, so the thing
I have my updated number if you're interested.
Sure.
In 115 minutes on the court together, Brown, Hayward, and Tatum are plus 24.5.
Is that good?
So that number keeps going up because when I originally said the number, they're plus 21.
So
interesting.
So interesting how they spend more time together and they get better together.
Yeah,
funny how
interesting
that works.
That they've lost the last two games.
Yeah, and I think Tatum has been a big part of that problem these last couple of games. And earlier in the week, he was talking about how he wants to be an all-star. And last year, he's under the tutelage of Kobe Bryant. And I still think he looks kind of the same as he did last year. And that's
not
a good thing.
I don't really. I'll say this. I think his passing has gotten a lot better. And he threw a pass last night. I can't remember if it was to Cantor or Tice, but it's like the type of pass that he would not have thrown in his first
Tatum.
Yes.
Oh, definitely.
His passing has gotten better.
Even Brown.
Jim, so that's where I would just, maybe offensively in terms of getting his own shots, you'd like to see a little more variety, but he's become a much better passer, I think. And that's a really encouraging sign.
Even Brown. Brown's doing it too. They're both passing the ball better.
Well, the things that stood out to me last night were the coaching at the end, which I hated those early fouls, meaning early fouls in the shot clock, putting those guys on the line. I thought you let them off the hook. I thought you didn't tighten the screws enough on Philly and force them into making the right plays against the clock. You just send them to the line without them having to do anything. And I also hate the hack of strategy. I hate the hack of Drummond, hack of Shaq. I hate it. And so, you know, I'm glad that came back to bite you because I'd like to see that out of the game. I just think it's a weasel maneuver. So I was actually glad Simmons hit his free throws. And then you're following an 80% free throw shooter in Embiid, whose night it was in the first place and was clearly feeling it. And then Brown presses you off of that last made free throw and you weren't ready for it, and Tatum throws it away. It's like the role reversal. It's like that's how the Celtics are supposed to beat the Sixers, because the Sixers are clueless at the end of these ball games. So that stood out to me. And the other thing, probably the biggest thing, Chris, is that if Embiid's going to screw his head on straight and really engage, then that's a problem. I've always sort of counted on Embiid. Great talent, but has a little bit of the dog in him and will never reach his full potential and has a little bit of a competitive deficit. And you can always take advantage of that. If, you know, and Charles Barkley and, you know, blame Charles Barkley and Shaquille O'Neal for getting his attention. But if that's the way he's going to look, then that's a different story.
Yeah, I would agree. The only thing is, I don't know if he can hold up. Like, you know, there's a reason he coasts. And it's because, as Jim would say, I'd take this from him, he has the Triscuit knees.
Oh, yeah, for sure.
I mean, he, you know, yes, he sometimes has a competitive issue, but I really don't think his body is built to play that hard for 82 games in the playoffs. So he might just run himself into the ground. The other thing I'll say quickly is it was painful for me to watch Matisse Thybulle play the way that he played, because that's exactly that's exactly the type of 3-and-D guy the Celtics could use off their bench, and they facilitated the Sixers getting him in the draft.
The Sixers traded up to their position to get him, didn't they?
Yeah.
Did you say that? Would you go into the draft? You said it at the time?
I did. I was like, I don't like them helping the Sixers get this type of bench guy that they need. Now, at the time, did I think the Celtics bench would be this bereft of depth? I did not, but it's just painful to watch this guy contribute off the bench, and then you're seeing what's coming off the Celtic bench.
Again, by saying the Celtics bench is bereft of depth, Chris means they blow.
Okay, that's also in the Maz dictionary. Your calls on all of this after these words.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
Sometimes they're hot on the topic.
Yes!
No!
Yes!
No!
Yes!
Felger and Maz, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Tatum inbounds to Hayward, diagonal kick out Kemba Walker. His three blocked by Thybulle. Tobias Harris will dribble out the clock. And the Celtics put a scare into them late. But the Sixers get the signature win they wanted and needed in the spotlight game. And the Celtics suffer their first defeat on their home floor. The final score, Philadelphia 115, Boston 109.
I thought that was a bad loss. I thought the last two. You got to win these last two. You're up 10 against Indiana. They don't even have their best player. If you want to separate from this pack in the East and be right next to Milwaukee, you got to win these games. And I can accept Joel Embiid. If Joel Embiid wants to go off you know, fine. You don't match up with him. A lot of teams don't. And if he's going to take over, he takes over. Like, that I can accept. I don't know if he can do that over seven games or 82 games, like to Gasper's sort of point. I can't accept you not doing the right things at the end of the games with the clock and the timeouts and the fouls and whatnot. Like, that should be your advantage.
0-2 against Philly.
Over Brett Brown. So, anyway, let's take some calls here for Gasper on the Celtics and the taping and whatever you want, because it is agenda-free. Here's Matt in Malden on the Seas. Go ahead, Matt.
Hey, guys. I'm not saying Tatum sucks, but if there's an adjective I'd use to describe his game this season, he seems, for some reason, more unsure of himself. It seems like he's passing on shots he should take, taking more shots he shouldn't, and leading to more turnovers just by the eyeball test. And I don't know if it's, he's trying to force being Kobe or what, but if there's a comparison I'd make, it reminds me of, across sports, Devin McCourty's first season at corner was amazing, and then the second season, he seemed kind of lost, and we moved him over to safety, and he's been great for years. But we can't do that with Tatum, move him from power forward to small forward.
Okay, well, Matt, let me just talk about your assessment of his game this year. Maz was shaking his head no, and Chris was nodding his head yes.
Okay, so, I'm shaking his head, my head no, because I think he's inconsistent. But I don't think he's less sure of himself than he was a year ago. A year ago, he was really unsure of himself for lots of reasons. And I thought his decision-making sucked last year, so I don't know. I feel like I don't know what the hell went wrong in year two. Okay, but this year, I just say inconsistent. There are moments I've watched him, I say, oh, man, he's getting there. He's getting there. And like you said, the passing.
Yeah.
Now, the shooting percentage is down. But I also think he's taking more shots, and I think that this is part of the process. You know, he's got to do more now, right? Kyrie's gone. Hayward was out for a while, and so some of the efficiency is going to go out of his game until he figures it out.
He's not efficient enough for me. That's
no, not yet. Not yet. You know what I thought was interesting, though, and I don't know if you guys picked up on this, but did you think it was interesting that Kemba Walker said last night that we have to learn
how to win?
Yeah.
Sorry, which was cut you off. He said we need to learn how to win.
Which, and wasn't there another point guard who said that last year?
Yes. Yes, it has a totally different tone and feel to it.
Yeah, the tonality was totally different, but same general idea being expressed.
Yes, and this is a little bit of a concern. They're not closing some of these games.
So I felt like Kemba was including himself.
Yes, well, because he probably was.
Right?
But I don't know. It's just when he says it, has a totally different tone than when Kyrie or
absolutely, and that's what I mean, is that, you know, let's not forget, he doesn't know how to win anything either.
We've got
not in the NBA.
We've got Eddie in the truck on the taping. Hi, Eddie.
Hey guys, how you doing?
Good.
My question is: right now, do you feel like Roger Goodell is just feeding off of all this negativity coming out of the Patriots locker room? And if you put yourself in his shoes, are you wanting to get revenge against them for booing you off the stadium when you won the Super Bowl? And
so,
then put yourself in the player's shoes, the guys who just want to play football. Like, I feel bad for those guys, and they're just caught up in all this mess.
They're really not. For the players, it's a non-factor, Eddie. Non-factor. It's a story for Bill and the brand and the organization and the media and the league, and it has nothing to do with the players.
But if the players were bothered by it and were bothered by any questions about it that they've had to deal with this week, they have one person to blame, their coach.
Okay.
Not for this incident, but past transgressions.
Yeah, for his reputation.
Yeah.
This is all about Bill's reputation. This is why this is a story. If he didn't have the reputation, this would be forgotten in a minute. They'd be fined and we'd move on. So it starts with his reputation. But, Mike, Roger Goodell's a non-factor. He's a non-factor in this. He's a boogeyman that's been created for you to put on a T-shirt or treat as a villain. It has nothing to do with him. He's going to do what the owners tell him to do.
He loves this.
He's a weather vane. Did you say that before about something else? All he is there to be pushed in one direction or the other by a group of influential owners. So that, point your attention to that. To Jerry Jones or whoever is
John
in that.
Mara.
Okay, the Maras, the Rooneys. The Joneses, whoever that cabal of powerful owners is going to influence Roger Goodell, and that's what's going to happen. So, to me, I don't think Goodell's an issue. He's a zero factor in this. If it were up to Goodell, he'd throw this brushes under the rug and not have to deal with this.
Well, I think that's true because I mean this also sort of dredges up his conduct during Spygate, which a lot of people look at. I mean, remember originally he was saying it didn't go back that far. And then with the late Senator Arlen Specter of Pennsylvania, he admitted it went back to 2000. It sort of felt like he swept some stuff under the rug. And I'm not saying that from the public standpoint. There were people in the league at an ownership level who felt like, geez, this guy is just a tool for Bob Kraft.
Yes. He destroyed 7 or 8 years of videotapes.
And notes.
And the notes.
They wouldn't even let notes.
They sent Jeff Pashier to see what the Patriots had. Turns out they had a whole room off Bill's office that was only accessible to him and Ernie and a couple of people, where they found reams of tapes, notes, charts, graphs, everything. And instead of bringing that evidence back to New York and the league, they stomped on the tapes and found a shredder and shredded the documents.
Correct. No, that room is now known as the Roger Goodell Library. They named it after him, for crying out loud.
But the whole thing, you know, and this is the other reason I think that maybe this is taking a little bit longer this time, is because remember last time, it was like boom, boom, boom. It was like really quick.
Five days, yeah.
Yeah, it was like 5 days or 4 days or whatever it was, because it came out on the 13th. What was the game on the 9th?
Something like that.
So maybe this time it's like, okay, we better take our time, because that was another criticism. Like, all right, hold on a second. Aren't you going to review any of this stuff? No, here's the punishment. We're moving on. So
Goodell. I'll say it a million times just quickly. Roger Goodell doesn't defend the Shield. He is the Shield for the owners. He protects them. He is there. The blood ends up on the Shield.
And you guys know the story, too. I mean, you know, the punishment. I always laugh because Patriots fans think that they got railroaded on the Spygate punishment. If they only knew, like, what the original punishment was before it got, like, negotiated down, and people missing games and what the real fines were.
What was it?
Oh, I mean, Bill would have missed games. He was going to be suspended. He got talked down. The whole thing got talked down.
I mean, Robert talked him down.
The whole thing got talked down.
Okay, so I'll tell you what, one of the rumors out there, it's not even, this was reported and written on, that Bill actually came back at the league and said, well, I have evidence of other teams cheating, and if you really want to go, let's go. And Bill threatened to release, and maybe he's doing this here now, who knows? But that
I haven't heard that one. This is good. I like
that. Oh, yeah. You can just Google it. Mike Florio wrote about it. The feeling in the league, or the feeling in some circles, is that Bill was starting to threaten the league with, well, we didn't just tape the other sidelines. We taped some other teams, too. And we'll tell everybody what everyone's doing if you really want to go there. He even hinted at it in the Mona Lisa press conference. The cut we keep playing. There's a little line in there. He says, we weren't the only ones doing it, by the way.
Right.
Yep.
And he has evidence to this effect, and he started to threaten the league. And so I thought that's what you were driving at, that it got
talked down. I didn't know. That one's really interesting. Did that ever come up on the boat in Nantucket? You guys ever talk about that?
No, the boat was in 03, so they hadn't been nabbed yet. Or 04, whatever.
So wait a minute. You're saying that Bill was using the method of deny, deny, accuse.
Bingo!
Oh, interesting.
Yes.
Interesting.
Jake in Winchendon has something on Brady's future. Go ahead, Jake.
Yes, so it's a two-part question. First part is, do you think, with all the rumors out there, that Brady is going to be leaving, like I've seen Miami and L.A.? And part two is, if he leaves, does that hurt his legacy here in New England?
Okay, in New England, maybe a couple people are pissed off, but big picture, it's not in the long haul. Joe Montana is still Joe Montana. Doesn't matter that he played for the Chiefs or not.
Emmitt Smith still Emmitt Smith.
Right. Johnny Unitas is still Johnny Unitas, and et cetera, et cetera. So it really doesn't stick to any of these guys unless they go somewhere and are pathetic. Like, where did Willie Mays? Was he?
He was on the Mets.
The Mets at the end.
And he was, like, broken down, you know?
Yeah. But for the most part, it's not going to affect his legacy.
I mean, Jerry Rice, anybody care that Jerry Rice played for the Raiders and I think the Seahawks?
Seahawks. And Denver.
Oh, I didn't know that one.
Didn't he go to Denver for like a cup of coffee?
It sounds right, actually.
I feel like I just want to Google
that. Yeah, most people forget all that crap. You just remember them in their glory.
Just remember the greatness.
Yeah, Smith on the Cardinals. That was a disaster.
That was so bad.
Yeah, Brady's legacy is not tarnished. It's already forged in iron.
If anything is tarnishing his legacy, it's playing with this offense.
Okay, so why did I say Denver? It's not. It was Oakland and then Seattle for 1 year. That's the extra team that I was thinking of. But what's the latest in Brady's future? You have any developing thoughts on this?
No, I mean, I think it's the same thing it's been, you know, for a while. I think he'll see what's out there in the offseason and what the situations are and what the money is. And we'll see if he really this time is willing to go to the wall and leave. You know, maybe he'll try and use it for leverage and bring something back to them. Or if there's a great opportunity out there, and if there's not a great opportunity out there, I think he'll just retire. So I mean, that's my opinion, you know?
So I'm sorry, Chris. I zoned out because I was actually – Rice signed with the Broncos but never played with them.
Oh, I didn't know that.
So there's – as usual, Felger was like, right-ish, half right.
I'm telling you, every time Gasper comes in on Friday, I learn something new.
But hold on. What did you just say?
No. You said that nothing really developed with Brady, but this comes after he dropped that whole thing in there about they negotiated down the Belichick penalty from 07. Is, you know,
who's then, they? He won't even tell us who they is.
Sorry. He.
No, that's not what he's saying.
It was negotiated down. I'm leaving it at
that. It was negotiated down by who?
Oh, the Crafts, probably.
I didn't say anything. It was negotiated.
I didn't say you said anything. You're very defensive over there.
We continue with your thoughts after Murray's update.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
Felger and Mez.
Oh.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
100% on Bill the GM when it comes to the offensive problems and personnel.
If this team does not win a Super Bowl, it's because of the moves that Bill made on offense or the lack thereof. I mean, he basically said with his choices, what he did on defense, keeping everybody. I mean, they don't have a backup center, yet they have eight different linebackers to choose from to play in a game. Maybe he saw it all. Maybe they win the Super Bowl title, and he saw it, and he said, this is going to be a great defense. We're going to ride it to a Super Bowl. We don't need to worry about the offense. Okay, fine. But if they don't win, it's on him.
I played that for Gasper because that was Bedard on earlier here this week. I played that for you because I would assume you agree 100%.
Yeah, that was strong. That was strong from Bedard. I mean, I would agree with that. I would. I mean, when you look at, it's funny, when you look at a lot of the numbers, like, you know, Brady's completion percentage, you look at all these numbers, they're like eerily similar to 2013, which was another year where they didn't have the weapons. Now, obviously, Gronk got hurt that year, but when you look at wide receiver, and in fairness to Bill, that year he did go out and get Danny Amendola, but it's like Welker was gone. It was pretty much just Edelman and these young guys. It was Dobson. It was Thompson. It was Boyce. And Amendola was banged up and still trying to earn Brady's trust. And the numbers are like eerily similar for Brady to 2013 at this point. And
you know what else?
That cost him at the end. You know, that AFC Championship game, they couldn't keep up.
You know what else he did after that season? He got himself another quarterback is what he did.
Yes, he did.
Just as a point of note. That's all. That was that stage again. If you were to check passer rating, this is that, you know, that the third or fourth year in a row, whatever, that passer rating and completion percentage went down, and Bill said, might be time to get the next guy.
So where do you stand on the offense? Lost cause? It just is what it is at this point?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny. It sort of feels that way. The only thing I can think of is maybe they can find a way to get N'Keal Harry going the way they did when they had the touchdown that was taken away when it shouldn't have been against Kansas City, which is basically, you know, catch and run type plays, some of those old like Aaron Hernandez type plays. Maybe there's a way to incorporate him and get him going there. The other caveat I would say to saying they're done is, what's up with Sanu? Because he's clearly not healthy. And they went out and got him for a reason. And you know I like Emmanuel Sanders better. I've been in the Emmanuel Sanders fan club for forever. But there's a reason they got Sanu. Sanu is a professional receiver. He should be able to help more than he's helped this year, unless he's cooked. Unless he's just cooked as a player. Because the yards per reception were low in Atlanta as well. He was below 10, and he's been low here. But still, I think you should be able to get more out of that guy. So if they can do those two things, then I think the offense can be better. Is it going to be a vintage Patriots offense? No. But, I mean, it has to be better than this.
Sanu's a huge guy. Huge.
No question.
Yeah, I mean, again, right, because they just don't have anything beyond Edelman. So they need something reliable there. And then that makes Dorsett the third guy. And then, again, you'd have, in theory, a veteran tight end with Watson, a couple of backs that can catch it. It should be enough.
It should be better than this.
Okay, it should be better than, even if Bill left him high and dry with some personnel misses and some mistakes and things didn't pan out, we know what they are at this point. It still should be better. How much is on McDaniels, Chris?
He's trying. I mean, I'll tell you, I thought last week against Kansas, I mean, they came out, right? It was hurry up. It was the two tight end stuff. Again, it was a lot of the stuff they used to do with Gronkowski and Hernandez that put teams in a bind. We're going to go hurry up, and we're going to be able to change formations without changing personnel, and you're not going to be able to substitute. It's a tried and true Patriot strategy. But it makes a big difference when you look at it and you're looking at the tight ends or Matt LaCosse and Benjamin Watson at this stage of his career versus Hernandez and Gronkowski. He went pony formation, two backs and three wide receivers. He went four wide receivers in a row. He's spinning the dial. He tried everything. At a certain point, it's not about the X's and O's. It's about the Jimmys and Joes. They just don't have it unless some of these guys play better, period. That's it.
I told you, if I were him, I'd study the Charlie Weiss offense. That's what I would do. Go back and look at how Charlie Weiss did it in the early years of this dynasty.
Instead of spinning the dial, how about just slowing it down?
Right, simplify it.
Simplify it. You know,
but they have to trick teams. Like, if they're going to score points, they know they have to keep other teams off balance.
No,
because they can't line up and do it. They have to keep other teams off balance. I mean, I wrote this after the Philadelphia game. Like, I saw at that game, I'm like, this offense is all smoke and mirrors. They need the other team to screw up to score.
No, because they're in such a bad way. But if they simplify it and just let some of the guys who should be able to do something make, you know, again, we keep going to throwing N'Keal Harry a bubble screen.
Sure.
Like, I mean, yeah. I mean, I remember the 08 year where they just the first 2 months of Matt Cassel was throwing sideways.
Oh, yeah. Oh, that was the whole thing. I mean, the NFL Films video of the 2008 Patriots should be sideways.
Right.
It should be the name of it.
Because they were helping the guy out.
Yeah.
So they don't need to help Brady out, but they need to help everybody else out.
Correct.
So help him out.
That's what I say.
But the first game Harry played, the first pass they threw to him was one of those screens. And I'm not blaming him. It just wasn't blocked right. But that's what I'm saying. Like, it's easy to blame Josh, and I'll blame him for stuff like these stupid rollout passes they ran against Philadelphia, and they did it. What was the other game they did? Was it Houston?
Yeah.
Like, why are you the greatest attribute your quarterback has is his field vision, and you're cutting off half the field by rolling his slow behind out to the right. Like, what is this play? I'll kill him for that, but he's trying, and he's tried all these different things, and they can't execute them. They just can't.
Chris, I demanded a declaration of doneness on the Patriots after that loss to the Chiefs by these two, and they refused to admit what their eyes are telling them. Are they done to you?
What, define done?
You know what I mean.
No, I don't. Like, what do you mean, not going to win the Super Bowl?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay. They're done.
All right,
done.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
They're done.
Well, I know. Okay, they're not
going
to go.
They're still going to the AFC title game, though.
They're not going to go to the Super Bowl. I have them in the Super Bowl. I never had them winning it. I said, get back to me for that game. But
well,
here
come the semantics.
Right. No Wait semantics. I still have them in the Super Bowl. I'm not going to handicap a game that's in 2 months. But I have them in this.
I'm with Felger on that. That sounds good. Let's facilitate. Yes.
Yeah, that's a classic.
No, not going to the Super Bowl.
No, that's a good way to weasel out of it. You don't need to handicap a game that you don't even know who the teams are. That's freaking stupid.
Isn't that a Felger and Mass commandment?
But if it's not, it is now. At all cost.
Can't argue the future.
Facilitate at all cost.
You can't argue the future.
Facilitate at all cost.
Do you give them any chance of getting out of the AFC?
Yeah, I give them a chance, but I just think that game's going to be on the road and it'll be tough and I think it'll be a lot like 2013 and 2015, you know, games where they play well and tough and they're there at the end, but it's just not enough.
Okay. Chris, thanks for coming in. We got an auction winner coming up next.
No, absolutely.
You get off easy.
So you get a free segment off.
Seriously.
That's great. No, these auction winners, tough act to follow. These guys
have
been great.
I'll tell you, there's some the last kid with his laminated baseball stance.
I mean, he was great.
He brought pure spitfire. The first guy, our donut guy from Rhode Island, has already gotten some action. I've got a female friend of mine that's just asked for some digits. From the donut man from Rhode Island.
And by digits, you mean numbers.
As opposed to?
Extremities.
Oh, Mass.
Oh, my God, Mass.
Good God. Seriously.
I'm guessing that crawler is full, though.
Okay, so anyway, you want to stay tuned for these segments. Our next auction winner is next. Good God.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
All right, let's do our next Christmas in the City auction winner. You see, when you win this auction, Mass, and you get to run your own segment, you get to pick the rejoin music.
Correct.
So our next guest wanted to hear some George Michael. Go No.
Nothing wrong with that.
No implication there whatsoever. It's a good song.
You just wanted to disown it.
I just wanted to explain why we're playing George Michael, because normally that's not in our rotation. Matt Hammer is the operations manager, and John Lanzi is the install operations manager for Revise Energy. Revise Energy and Matt and John are joining us at our Town Fair Tire Studios. They won the right to host this segment. Thanks for your donation to Christmas in the City and your support of the charity. We appreciate it. How you fellas doing?
Great. Yeah, thanks for having us. We're really happy to do this, and obviously really, really happy to participate in something that's this great, you know, as far as what happens in the community. John and I were talking about on the way over here. We both have two small young children ourselves, you know, and I feel like with that, we have a new appreciation for charities like this that really make this season so much better for so many families out there. It's really good to be part of it.
Well, thank you again for your support. Tell us, John, about Revise Energy.
So
who are you and what do you do?
Yeah. So Matt, you want
to? Yeah. Yeah. So we are a participating contractor in the Mass Save program. What the Mass Save program, a lot of people don't realize what it is. It's something that everyone pays into in the state of Massachusetts. If you're a utility ratepayer, you pay into this program and you're entitled to this service for the most part. We come into your home. Our main priority is to help you save money on your utility bills, make your home more energy efficient. We're going to, you know, get into all the nitty gritty corners, look at your insulation, look at your, how tight is your home? How much are you spending every month on your gas, your electricity? What can we do to help you take advantage of all the incentives that are available to make your home run more efficiently and tighter?
You have a little something about the team that you have at Revise Energy, like Nancy Kerrigan. What is that all? How does that all come in?
Yeah, Nancy's been, we've been partnered with Nancy for a couple of years now. She's been excellent. We've audited her home. We brought her home up to today's insulation standards. And she's been a huge proponent of what we do. And we look forward to continuing to working with her. We've also got you guys might appreciate this. We've got a former Patriot that's now working with us. Jonas Gray actually manages.
Oh, sure.
Jonas manages our outreach team. So, he's been great. He's been with us for a little while now. We're looking to, if you want to work with Jonas Gray, we're looking for people to join our outreach team directly. So reach out to us at reviseenergy.com and you can work with Super Bowl champion Jonas Gray.
You know what? This explains why I saw him walking out of the building one day. I ran into him in the parking lot. And he was here with Revise Energy, now that you mention it.
There you go. So they, you know, again, how they get in touch with you is just that, reviseenergy.com?
Yep, or 1-800-885-SAVE is our phone number. Honestly, if you live in a house in Massachusetts, you pay your utility bills, there's a really good chance you're entitled to this. You pay for it literally every month on your bill. There's a line item on there that feeds into this program. This is a way for you to get some services from your utilities that don't cost you anything out of pocket. It's great.
I've used this service. I don't know if you have. It's phenomenal.
Yeah, and the best way you guys can think of it, it's like a checkup or a routine physical for your house, right? I mean, for most people, the most, you know, important thing that they buy in their life is their home. You know, and you have when you have a car, obviously you're getting oil changes, you're taking care of it. So, you know, take care of your house the same way. You know, whether it's, you know, that back bedroom of your home that's really drafty, or that, you know, those two bedrooms upstairs that during the middle of the summer, you know, even with the AC on, they still can't stay cool, or you have ice dam problems in the winter, you know, having the assessment, getting us in, seeing what we can do there, taking advantage of the money that you're paying in is really what you want to do.
Okay. Once again, Revise Energy. There you go. So we can continue talking about that, or you want to talk some sports?
Yeah. Let's talk some sports.
Also, give me your Patriots beef.
Yeah. So, you know, I'm going to go off of kind of what Gasper was just saying, but this offense is in trouble.
I like this guy already.
I like this assessment.
Yeah. I mean, just, you know, what we're looking at here, this is something we haven't seen yet, you know, and it's weird for a person like me who, you know, my entire adult life, I've seen a winning team and, you
How
know,
old
I'm
are
getting,
you?
I'm 34. I'm 34.
So you still, like, even a 34-year-old really doesn't know.
Oh, but he had barely hit puberty when Brady got here.
I mean,
think of it that way.
But even the Parcells years were representative. Even the Pete years, like, you were a normal team. You have no idea. But anyway, keep going.
Yeah, no, I mean, just think about it. You know, we had no plan for Gronk leaving, okay? You know, hearing that we are last in the NFL in targets to the tight end, last in yardage for tight end, coming from an offense that had the focal point of Gronkowski for all that time. You know, and then you look at this isn't 2007. Tom Brady's not, you know, he's not making these receivers. You know, we need the receivers to make him. And we got Stonehands, Jacoby Myers, We got Philip Dorsett. You know, we got the fourth best receiver on a 4-win Atlanta Falcons team that we traded a second round pick for. And somehow that's, you know, that's going to solve the problem. And, you know, it's just not like, and, you know, I feel like, you know, like this started to go downhill last year in the draft. You know, I almost fell out of my seat when they drafted Sony Michel, you know, and Felger, like, I disagree with probably 99.9% of the things you say, but the rightest thing that you Me have too. Ever said, the rightest thing that you have ever said is that running backs do not matter.
Thank you.
Okay? You can take Brandon Bolden. You can trade Brandon Bolden over to the Carolina Panthers.
Give me Jonas Gray back. It's all the same difference.
Jonas Gray. Trade Brandon Bolden over to the Carolina Panthers. Give him the usage that Christian McCaffrey's getting. He'll be the third best fantasy football running back that there is. You know, like, at the end of the day, and then just to go on top of that, they come in this year, they draft N'Keal Harry in the first round, another running back in the third round who's been active for, what, one game?
And then don't even play him.
One game he's been active. Like, if you take a look at it, literally go back and look at the draft from this past year, okay? All players that went after N'Keal Harry and went around the time Damian Harris went, they could have had A.J. Brown, D.K. Metcalf, Deebo Samuel, Mecole Hardman, Terry McLaurin. Imagine the Patriots with two of those guys, right? Because you had Harris, you have Harry. Imagine with two of those guys, plus Edelman, plus James White, and maybe they signed Jared Cook if they knew that Gronkowski was leaving. You got a much different looking offense than you have right now, don't you?
Yeah, absolutely. Who do you blame for it? Do you blame anyone?
Mass wants you to...
And Bill, we trust. I don't know.
Coach,
I mean,
but
I named my dog Brady, so I have to...
There we go. So did Murray.
Cat.
Yeah, same thing.
Either way, that's a pretty solid assessment right there.
That was a good take.
I'm telling you. So you're a hardcore Patriots fan, but you're a little agitated. Where is Revise located out of? Where are you? What town?
So our main office is up in Haverhill. We serve all of Eastern Massachusetts. So we also have a satellite office in Mendon, Mass, and one in Raynham, Mass, as well. But we're all throughout Eastern Massachusetts. So if you're up in Gloucester, if you're in New Bedford, if you're out in Worcester, you can call Revise Energy. We'll come out to you.
Okay. I was just curious if you were in the Foxborough area for any reason. I don't know why.
Well, so again, if the Patriots were a home and they were doing an assessment, I would say. Need serious insulation work in the attic and very drafty in there. Very, very drafty.
Very.
Can I add something to this?
Yeah, some revised humor there. Go ahead.
Yeah. Good energy efficiency humor there. So John mentioned he's 34 years old. I'm 35. I'm from Cincinnati. It's very timely that we're on here. Yeah, I know. I know you got a bone to pick with the region in general,
your
right?
City blows.
Yeah. They've never won a playoff game basically in my entire life. I mean, let's just leave it there. You know, let's cry our tears for all the Patriots fans out there
The Patriots have to cheat to beat you. Exactly. Can you imagine that?
Yeah, the Bengals need to get over that. They've got bigger problems than somebody videotaping their sidelines.
Okay.
We'll leave it there.
Guys, thanks for coming in so much. We appreciate it.
Awesome. Yeah, thanks for having us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Yeah, very nice of Revise to really take an interest in the charity.
So one more time for how people can reach you.
Yeah, you can find us reviseenergy.com, R-E-V-I-S-E, reviseenergy.com, 800-885-SAVE, 800-885-SAVE.
Okay, guys, thanks again so much for coming in.
Thank you, Michael. Thank you, Tony.
All right, here comes Murray's update. No commercials. We get right back to your phones, I promise.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task, but after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.